Stephen Tobolowsky has been entertaining us, from Ned Ryerson to Sandy Ryerson. I'm just going to stick with that because how did that happen? From Groundhog Day to Glee, but much before and much after. And now, from his movie, Stephen Tobolowsky's Birthday Party, to his podcast and radio show, heard first exclusively on KUOW. The Tobolowsky Files, he's been telling us some great stories. Have you? And thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
Yeah, it's really good to see you. And you've been writing as long as you've been acting, is that right?
Oh, it depends what you mean by writing, and it depends what you mean by acting. A lot of times people note those times when they were actually paid to write or paid to act. I think I've been acting. The first role I ever essayed, is that the right word? Yeah, was Hansel and Gretel when I was 5. And I was in the Pee Wee play contest, and Marcia Housewright was playing Gretel. And I got to feed Marcia Housewright strawberries, and I had to kiss her. And that was a big deal back then, having to kiss a girl on stage. That was very, very... got the old heart going, but it was, my bedtime was 8 o'clock. So it was tough on the theater schedule. So we had to perform Hansel and Gretel, and then I had to go home and go to bed. I found out later that I won second best Pee-wee actor for the portrayal of Hansel, and I never learned who won first best.
Not your opposite?
No, I don't know who won that. That's what I kind of count as my first acting role. But writing, I wrote a screenplay, I guess was the first time I ever wrote. And it was a screenplay about a detective with narcolepsy. And he kept falling asleep at the wrong times. And Joel Grey, the man who played in Cabaret.
Sure.
Yeah. His wife was a movie producer, and she wanted to know if I had a writing sample. And I said, well, yes, I have this movie about the detective with narcolepsy. So she said, could you bring it over? So I had several copies of the movie made to send to her. And I learned a very important lesson for all writers out there. And that is, after you get something copied, make sure it's been collated. I gave her 3 copies of this script with the detective with narcolepsy, and then I went home and thumbed through it and noticed the pages were all out of order. Like it went 1, 33, 4, 32. It was not in order at all, and the blood drained from my head. And then she called me later on and told me that she wanted to hire me because she thought my technique of...
Brilliant.
Of putting a screenplay together was remarkable, and I got paid $3,500.
What year was that?
Oh, no. That was a long time ago.
So was it before you did True Stories?
Well, yes, way before True Stories.
And before Two Idiots in Hollywood?
Yes. Two Idiots in Hollywood was a play I wrote in 1984, and I wrote it for all of my friends, and we played in it, and it was a... It's too crazy to even begin to go into. I cast all my friends in it, and then other friends would come and say, well, can I be in the play? And we didn't really have a part for them. I said, well, can you do anything? And he said, well, I can rope a calf. And I went, great, let's do that. So we got an artificial cow, and we put it outside the theater. And I said, you'll play the guy who wants to get in the show, but we don't have any parts for you, and you'll keep interrupting the play. And then finally at intermission, you'll be out on Melrose Boulevard in a Cadillac. You'll be staying on the Cadillac, and you'll be roping this artificial calf, and you'll be auditioning, and then I'll come out and have a fight with you and cast you for part 2 of the play. This play went out onto the streets. We were reviewed by Variety, and Variety said that this play was beneath the dignity of 9-year-olds.
So you succeeded.
So I blew up the banner from Variety, beneath the dignity of 9-year-olds, and put it across the theater. We sold out for 4 months.
We are on stage at the Neptune Live with a fine audience. Stephen Tobolowsky on 94.9 KUOW Seattle. How did you come to Hollywood from Dallas? And if I may, it's Rosh Hashanah, a Jewish kid in Dallas, mm-hmm. growing up, and then coming to Hollywood.
Yeah.
Is there anything there that's story-like?
It's a long road. The truth of the matter was, my girlfriend at the time was, if you listen to the podcast, you know it was Beth, was my girlfriend, and we went on an audition tour because we wanted to be babes on Broadway, and we went to various theaters around the country, and we realized it wasn't going to be so easy to be a professional actor. As I say, there are very few gates and very many gatekeepers. And so Beth and I made a decision that it would be easier to be poor in Los Angeles because the weather was better. So we moved out to Los Angeles, and I was lucky enough to get a job right away in children's theater. Unfortunately, it was...
Hansel and Gretel paid off.
Yes. Yes. And unfortunately, it was in an all-Spanish-speaking company. And I couldn't speak Spanish, but I was so hungry for the job. And I told them that, I remember that Netherlands group, Shocking Blue, right? She's got it. Oh, baby, she's got it, right? They learned that entire song phonetically. So the people of the theater company said, well, can you speak Spanish? And I said, I can learn. I can learn it phonetically. And I went to a bookstore, and we were opening in 3 weeks. So they had this one book, Berlitz, is that the language book? And it says, learn Spanish in 60 days. And I thought, well, that ain't going to work. And I kept going down the list, and there was another one, learn Spanish in a month. I said, need better than that. And then they had a book, Learn Spanish in 1 Hour. I thought I hit the mother load. Unfortunately, it was not a really good working text for doing Spanish. And it only had nouns that we have in English and in Spanish, like federal, cafeteria, taco. But I learned that entire show phonetically. And our first show was in Indio, California, and the first show went very well for all the little kids. And then they took those children out, and they brought another group of children in, and I was giddy with success. And somehow or other, the next show began, and the entire play was like alphabet soup in my head. And I think... my first line on stage, I was playing a bandito, and I had a big sombrero with a big mustache, and the little girl who was my boss, actually, she was dressed like a little girl. She's lost, and she's kidnapped by bandits, me. And I'm supposed to say, Pasa jovencita, which means come in, little girl. But it was alphabet soup in my head, and I said, Peto jovencita, which meant fart, little girl. Wowie. And that was just the beginning. It only got better. I was the only actor that I've ever heard of that actually got fired on stage by the little girl. She looked at me and said, why are you doing this? I said, doing what? You're fired. But again, As we never know the difference between catastrophe and miracle often in our lives, there was a man in the audience who was a producer for SIN, which was the Spanish language network, and he thought it was hilarious. And he hired me to do 3 commercials in Spanish as the gringo who can't speak Spanish.
You write music, yes? You're a performer? You sing?
Again, it comes back to the question of have you ever been paid? I think the best we ever did in our band was we got paid in beer, and that's always tough because you want to feel like you've earned your money. and we were never really able to make it to that third set. You know,
but I saw in Stephen Tobolowsky's birthday party,
I play the piano. I play for my own amusement. I would never consider myself really a musician. I appreciate it and I love it. And I'll tell you, one of the best. Can my wife's backstage. She gave me the best birthday present ever imaginable. She wouldn't tell me what it was, but she said, just get dressed like you're going to meet somebody important. And I said, okay. We got dressed, and it was for my birthday, and I got this ESP thing in my head that I knew what the present was going to be. So I wrote down on a piece of, I said, Annie, I'm going to write this down. I'm going to write down what I think the birthday present is. And I wrote it down on a piece of paper and folded it, sealed it on an envelope, and I put it on her desk. I said, don't look. And she took me to downtown Los Angeles to the Disney Center, the concert hall. And she had arranged for me to play on the grand piano on the concert hall for free. She knew the she knew someone who knew the janitor. and I went there, and she had brought all my piano music, and I got to sit on that wonderful stage on that huge piano, and I played some Brahms and I played Beethoven and different things. And when you're playing in one of those big halls, you can hear the keys report off of the back of the theater. It's amazing how you hear the music differently when you're in that situation. And I went home. We were there for about an hour. And it ruined Anne's day. She was angry with me a little bit. She opened the envelope, and it said, you're taking me to Disney Hall to play on the piano. Scary. And I've been trying to figure out how I knew that, because I think somehow our brain puts together pieces from some other place. But that was as close as I ever... I went to Carnegie Hall once and took a master class in the Beethoven sonatas. But again, I was just a student.
We have a question from the floor. That has absolutely nothing to do with this, but in a way, it's all about performing and being real. Nathan?
Hi, I'm Stephen. You're in Californication?
Yes.
And I think I've seen you some other places where you've been partially dressed.
You call this a segue?
I didn't say it was.
Are you people savages?
it's about being a performer and exposing yourself.
Yes.
Well, anyway.
Wait till you see the first show of this season of Californication. Okay. Yes.
Well, first of all, you're cute.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And I'm highly disappointed that your wife came out. But, But seriously, how do you take your clothes off on film and on TV? Like, how do you do that and hold yourself?
This is what you're going to have to deal with.
Earlier, we have talked to an actor who's in Big, a young actor.
He's 13.
Yeah. He hasn't had that challenge yet.
Right. When I was in college, I was in a couple of plays where I had to play an Incan Indian and another where I had to play a Roman slave boy. And in both of those, I had to wear like thongs and things like that. Actually, the Roman slave boy was kind of interesting because I was painted silver and I had a thong which they had neglected to dye at the proper time to give it a suitable drying period of time. They were going to dye the thong silver. So the thong was dyed silver, and we were all of the slave boys. We were naked off stage. The play was going on. Now, you want to talk about butterflies in your stomach? The play had already started, and we were naked off stage, ready for our thongs. It was time for the slave boys to make our entrance. So we grabbed our thongs, put them on, and the burn? Oh, my gosh. So we're like on stage trying to get to the other side of the stage, and those thongs came off so quick there, we're like, it's remarkable. You know, in something like Californication, of course, you're completely surrounded by an entire crew of people. And you have to sign a contract, a naked contract, saying that, you know, you're going to be naked and no part of you will touch any part of anyone else who's naked. And they have some provisions that there could be no photographers on set except for the huge cameras that are filming the entire event. And I asked the director, I said, and it said that any of the dailies, which are the kind of the film, the day after you shoot them, all the footage that isn't used will be kept in a secure location. And I asked the director, what is the secure location? And he says, it's a place we call the internet. But I mean, the interesting thing about having to do one of those scenes is that, of course, there's nothing going on. I mean, absolutely nothing. And you figure they're not going to show anything, really. So in the end, you have to do a lot of imaginary acting. And what I always used to do was, and you could try this up there, this works. If you have to do a passionate love scene, you imagine someone is clipping your toenails, and like someone's taking off your shoe. Oh, yeah. And then they start pulling off your sock. Okay, okay, okay. And then they start clipping with the nails. Wait, it's, okay. And you're actually able to make the proper facial expressions. That scene.
All right. Stephen Tobolowsky, I appreciate you talking to us. Thank you very much. Stephen Tobolowsky, stage, screen, and television. This is Weekday on KUNW Seattle.